This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A good Monday morning to you. It is Victory Monday on Grant and Danny here on 106.7. The Fan, it was not an easy win for the Washington Redskins. The San Francisco 49ers at one point scoring 17 unanswered points. C.J. Beathard came off the bench and looked way more comfortable than you'd like a debuting rookie passer to look on the road in your building. But the Redskins survive a scare. They get a win. Let's all move forward and act like nothing happened. Danny, good morning to you.
Hey, buddy. That was awkward. That was like seventh grade dance right at the beginning. Awkward, where the lights are on bright and all the parents are there. Everyone's staring. It was weird. I don't know how to feel about it. Obviously, scoring more points than the opponent feels good, but you couldn't help but think they got boned early on in the game when Vernon Davis was clearly down, and they can't find an angle to overturn that. Which
how do you? How do you? You have instant replay. I saw several replays sitting at a sports bar called Big Wings in Los Angeles, where I ate delicious buffalo wings and iced teas unsweetened.
Sure you did.
I'm across the country. I can see several times over. This is an elbow on the ground. This is down. This is not a fumble. How do we have instant replay and we still can't get that right?
The whole point of having it in all the sports is to make sure that everything is correct. I am 100% with that principle because I want things to be correct at all times. I don't care how long it takes. Some people don't care. I care. I just want it to be correct. If it's still not correct, a.k.a. Kirk Cousins' arm moving forward and a pass is batted down by a Philadelphia Eagle and it's returned for a touchdown after it hits the ground and they just call it a fumble, wrong. Vernon Davis is on the ground, then he fumbles, wrong. If you can't get it right, then abandon the whole thing. Then I would scrap it tomorrow based on Austin Seferian Jenkins scoring a touchdown that they decide to overturn, whatever the hell else happens. But you got lucky, basically. At the end of the game, Pierre Garçon just running a route. Zach Brown runs into him by his own admission, by the way. Sought him out and ran into him on purpose and drew a flag that I thought was bogus, ticky-tack, and nonsense.
Smart play by Zach Brown, though, one way or the other. And it was a terrible call on Pierre Garçon. Heady play by, maybe from a physical standpoint, your best player on defense.
We certainly agree there. But the fact is you lucked out with a win. A game that should have been handled easily, a game that you let San Francisco back in the game a number of times over. We're crowning C.J. Beathard now after he comes in and throws wobble duck passes down the field to guys that are breaking free. Point is, you escape with a win. It was sloppy. It was bad. There's a lot to take away that isn't positive, but there are some good things. And I think as this week goes on, I'll process some of those good things, but it's hard to feel very confident heading into a matchup with a 5-1 Eagles team this next coming week after that game against San Francisco. I know they played people tough, but they played the Colts tough. They're playing, a couple teams that are also Rams kind of tough. It didn't inspire a lot of confidence in Redskins Nation is what I'll say.
It didn't. My lack of confidence going into Monday Night Football against the Eagles, now 7 days away, is based on the lack of health on defense and the fact that this defense each week is regressing a little bit more and a little bit more. And the last 2 weeks in the second half, they could not get off the field to get an offense that was actually playing well the football back. If you look at time of possession and plays run in the second half, the Redskins offense has been effective after halftime. Kirk Cousins led two scoring drives for what should have been 10 points in the fourth quarter. They just didn't get to run enough plays again because the defense, and it's its own fault, is on the field way too much because they cannot get third down stops and they can't come through with big plays when they need to. So I don't feel good about that Eagles matchup, but it's got way more to do with Bashaud Breeland's MCL, Jonathan Allen's foot, Josh Norman's ribs, the fact that they're becoming a shell of themselves on that side of the ball as far as health, yeah, and less to do with the game. Because you know my philosophy on this, Danny. I do not need style points. People everywhere want style points. They want to pummel the bad teams, and it's the tough guy talk, and it's easy to say good teams put them away, and that's true. They do. I don't need to be that. I need to just win when I'm on the field. The 49ers have played five consecutive games within 3 points. This is what San Francisco is. They are as gritty and gutty and tough a team to drive a dagger through as you can be. And they're terrible, by the way. They don't have talent, but they've gone to overtime twice. The Cardinals, one of the teams they took to overtime, just woodshedded a team that we thought was okay yesterday. This is the league. So the fact that the Redskins, quote, survived, that they barely beat San Francisco, I don't care about any of that. The specifics I do care about. The fact that you couldn't run the ball, and it looks like that's an area of concern right now. Rob Kelly still hurt. Chris Thompson averaging 2.1 yards per carry. Samaje Perine averaging 2.6 yards per carry. It didn't matter who had the ball yesterday. Mac Brown averaging 1 yard per carry. There was no running room. That's a problem. The fact that defensively, again, up until really 2 sacks in the second half, pass rush, non-existent, Beathard, untouched, that's a problem. Jay Gruden's play calling, where he hands the ball off 3 straight times when you get the ball back with a minute 58 to go, trusting his defense, you give them the ball with 1 minute left. Danny, didn't you think the game was over at that point? They were going to lose? Because I know I did.
It was a coin toss, and then, you know, Pierre Garçon makes that catch down the sideline, and I said, that's it. They're going to find a way to DC Sports this game. I was convinced of it. Jay's playing not to lose, play calling at the end. I'm with you. I always hate, you know, coming in Monday morning quarterback style and saying, that play was bad. You know, the play call was bad. Well, it didn't work. If it works, then everybody's a genius. But I hated the idea that an offense, as you said, and you pointed this out on Twitter, I think, at Grant H. Paulson, I was trying to do some of this math as well. I think on first down carries in the second half, there was a sequence where 5 of 6 went for 1 yard or less. 4 straight, I believe, were negative rushes on first downs, setting up bad down and distance. Thank God for their passing game. Thank God Kirk Cousins had that.
How about not just 4 straight first down carries, Danny? 4 straight runs in the game over 2 drives in the second half were for minus yards. And on 1 drive at one point in the second half, 4 consecutive Thompson and Perine carries went for losses.
It's not okay. And I know there's short yardage stuff where they put 2 tight ends in there and both Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed whiffed. I need to never see that formation again when it's short yardage time. No, thank you. Once was because Samaje Perine was basically a bull in a china shop and bounced off 7 tackles and sort of had his own extra effort to get a first down. But for heaven's sakes, they cannot run the football. It's back to what it's been the last couple of years. That's the running game I thought we were going to get all season long. And we had these aberrations like against the Rams and some other moments where they've run it effectively. That's the rushing attack that I thought we were in for all season, where Kirk Cousins was going to be your second leading rusher based on 2 scrambles and 1 read option. It is in his hands. They've got to throw the ball a ton of times. The fact that offense was humming with Cousins at the helm, especially in that fourth quarter, and they didn't go to a boot. They didn't go to some other action where they trusted their quarterback to, hey, if nothing's there, eat it and take a sack. There's no harm in it given the field position after Kyle Shanahan made a mistake, in my opinion, going with that onside kick, but whatever. At a certain point, please trust your best players to play. It goes to our Josh Doctson theme, which we'll talk about today throughout, and it goes to the fact that their best offense right now involves Chris Thompson in the flat, it involves Jordan Reed underneath, it involves Jamison Crowder, and it involves Cousins spreading the football around to simply hand it off in kind of a give-up sort of fashion when all you can do is just go win the game. Just go win the game with a couple first downs, make them burn their timeouts. Giving it back, giving possession away right there, that stuck really, really bad in my craw.
Grant and Danny, 106.7, the Fan, a victory Monday. So we're starting with some of the things that bothered us, and I think that's recency effect. The Redskins were up 17-0 and then needed a couple of breaks and some bad calls to end up beating an 0-for-the-season San Francisco 49ers team at home. But here's some of the good, because there was a lot of that as well. Specifically in the first quarter, by the way, where they just dominated San Francisco, I thought Kirk Cousins played a really good game. There was one drive where he threw the near interception that got overturned, and on the next play, basically a punt interception, which didn't really hurt them. You and I talk all the time about all interceptions not being created equal. That was effectively a punt. I didn't care that much about that, but he was adamant about throwing an interception on that drive.
That seemed like it, right?
Which is weird because he had thrown one all season to that point, and then on back-to-back plays, just throws that weren't even close. We'll ask him about that when he joins the show in 50 minutes exclusively on G&D here at 11. But he went 25 of 37, threw for 330, 3 total touchdowns, rating over 100, 10 points in the fourth quarter on drives that he orchestrated, had the game-winning rushing touchdown. I mean, you really can't ask for more out of him. Chris Thompson, lethal weapon. Four catches for 105 yards. The Redskins, I don't know when it happened, have become one of the best screening teams offensively in football. They've got a quarterback who does it very well, looks defenders off, is patient, waits the proper amount of time, sets the play up. They've got a running back who makes people miss. They've got an athletic tackle in Trent Williams and a guard in Brandon Scherff who get out and blow people up. They're just very good at it. I like Fuller making the big play at the end of the game with the pick. Matt Ioannidis had a monster sack in the second half.
He was good again.
A 47-yard field goal that was missed. People forget about that. If they make that field goal, maybe they win the game. Kerrigan halted a drive when San Francisco was rolling with a sack, minus 11, that was key. A couple of other notes here I've got in front of me. Quentin Dunbar. What an amazing performance for him. No Norman, no Breland. Dunbar all of a sudden's covering Pierre Garçon and number ones. This guy, the last couple weeks, did the same thing about Kansas City when after the injuries. He comes in and he plays like a starting cornerback in this league. Gives me a lot of confidence with Breland being a free agent that he's continuing to develop.
I am 100% with that. I thought Dunbar was outstanding in this ballgame. I thought it kind of comes back to bite you because their corners are so physical a lot of times that you end up getting, you know, beaten up and banged up a little bit. It's almost like every other play, a member of the secondary has gone down, and they are thinner every week there, it seems like. But you're right, they needed 47 to play as well as he did. And I thought he was outstanding early on, especially. A couple other things, and this is something that it's a hallmark to me of good offense, and here's where I'm going with this. For so many years, I remember when they had Fred Davis and Chris Cooley, it just seemed like they could only have one guy on the field at the time, or there was no way to utilize it, you know? And then all of a sudden New England comes along with Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski, and the pair of them are impossible to deal with. You saw a little bit of that yesterday. It's not all the time because they can't really run the ball with the two tight end sets, but they set it up. And this is for the run the dang ball people. This is a little, you know, I would say a check mark on one of your boxes. Because they'd run it so often out of those two tight end looks, that Vernon Davis setting up in what has been a run formation throughout the game, all of a sudden, never even pretends to block, takes off down the field that 51-yard reception when nothing was happening on offense. They'd gone through that entire third quarter, not done very much, GP. Kirk Cousins, beautiful pass. Vernon Davis, great route, blows right by the linebacker, safety, whoever had him. I forget which one it was. A massive momentum-turning play in that ball game. That 51-yarder to Vernon Davis. I love stuff like that, where you dictate the matchups. You get your base package on defense because of what you've done tendency-wise, then you break a tendency. I love plays like that because it's smart.
Yeah, Vernon Davis is just an outstanding player. He's outperformed Jordan Reed. Reed's clearly not healthy because when he is, it's him and Gronkowski and everybody else, maybe Kelsey at the tight end position. But right now, Vernon Davis is their best playmaker at that spot. One other guy we should give a little shine to that we're always hard on, and that's Ryan Grant.
He was really good.
When it was winning time, that was your most trustworthy quality wide receiver because for some inexplicable reason, Josh Doctson, who made a great catch in traffic for an 11-yard touchdown, was targeted three times and played like 26% of the snaps again.
19 snaps.
Just completely ridiculous. It makes no sense. Terrell Pryor, I think, you know, left the field after the fourth play of the game or something like that. I'm joking, but he wasn't involved. Grant was very good. He ran good routes. He made sure catches. He's always going to be probably a guy. This is not someone who's going to break a bunch of tackles and score touchdowns on plays designed for 7 or 8 yards. But if he's a reliable guy, then he needs to continue to play more and more. And it's a guy that, as of right now, you and I both didn't want on the field, and he's getting to a point where you can trust him a few years into his career.
Big third down receptions, yeah.
Let's welcome some game balls and some gassers next at 800-636-1067 on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Lines. Open up the phones for the first time today, 800-636-1067. We'll give out game balls to the best performers, gassers to the worst of yesterday, next on Grant and Danny. Remember, Kirk Cousins at 11.
Guys, Danny Rubio here for my pals at Ted Britt Ford. I've been telling you about them for a while. You know why? Because that's where I get my cars. I got two, not one, but two rides from Ted Britt Ford. I liked it so much, I went back. That's how they've stayed in business for almost 60 years. That's right. They take care of their customers. They do an awesome, awesome job. It's not just lip service. They go above and beyond. Let me tell you about Ted Britt for Life. That's lifetime vehicle coverage. Because here's what they know. They know that you can go a lot of places to buy a car, right? They know you can go to a bunch of different dealerships. So they know that they've got to do it better than the other guys, and that's why they give you this guarantee. Check this out. New pre-owned vehicles with less than 100,000 miles. You get the Ted Britt for Life. So you get a 99,874-mile car. Oh, I don't get the same treatment? Yes, you do. The same as the brand new car, folks. Powertrain coverage, that's the big lease stuff, huge. That means talking about your engine, your drive axle, transmission, they fix all that stuff for you, right? The big stuff. Little stuff, like they'll replace your battery. once every 4 years. You crack your windshield, they'll fix it for you. They do Virginia State inspection there on site. They take away the angst and anxiety of car ownership. They are the best. Go see my pals at Temperate Ford in Fairfax or Chantilly and tell them when you go that Danny sent you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.